Good morning, I'm Kevin Robinson, and although she introduced me as being at Bryn Mawr College, I am formerly of Michigan. Cannot get away from Michigan. Most of our community partners are here. They kill me. I was at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and the Prevention Research Center of Michigan, and I'm here to present with one of our community partners, Bettina Campbell, who's the executive director of your center in Flint. We're also a CBPR, community-based participatory research project. We are an intervention within an intervention. We train pastors' wives to provide HIV and AIDS education. HIV and AIDS education and prevention to adolescents in the church. So not only was it faith-based, it was church-based. We partnered with 11 different churches, 7 different denominations, including Church of God in Christ, Seventh-day Adventist, AME, Baptist, non-denominational, and 2 housing developments. I'm going to briefly discuss some of the unique advantages and challenges of actually addressing HIV and AIDS through the churches, provide an overview of your blessed health that comes from your center, and describe some of the lessons, some of the many, many lessons that we learned while going through this project. As you can see from this slide, we're constantly being sort of given a barrage of statistics, so I won't repeat them. I will just say that there are significant disparities in infection rates in HIV and AIDS and STIs and also teen pregnancy in Michigan and in Flint specifically.
I said my church would never let me as a first lady do this.
Bettina's going to talk about it. I'm just sort of the mouth right now, but she's the one that really did all of this, so I want to really rush through this so she can tell you about that. Some of the challenges, we addressed many, many challenges in addressing HIV and AIDS amongst African-American youth. We wanted to highlight that youth sexuality is pathologized. We don't admit it, we don't talk about it, we ignore it, or we're in a serious state of denial. The exclusion of youth from decision-making, I think I said community decision-making or something like that, and Bettina said all decision-making. And then the perception on behalf or perspective of the youth, perception of invulnerability. Some of the challenges of addressing HIV and AIDS from the church's perspective. How can I adhere to church doctrine? The biblical text, my personal beliefs and Christian values. This HIV is a pandemic, a moral issue, or a health issue? And are we adequately equipped to even address this? We don't know all the information. This information updated, and really, do we have the resources, the speakers, and the level of comfort to address this? Your blessed health, the program purpose. We wanted to increase the capacity of the churches and the faith-based organizations and faith leaders to address HIV and AIDS, to not only speak about it, but to create a safe space in which we can talk about sexual health in general, HIV and AIDS specifically. And again, to change the norms of the churches. We wanted there to be a safe space created, and I'm going to jump ahead and say that I think we succeeded in doing that. The program goals and objectives for the youth: increase the skills of the youth to effectively understand their risk, enhance their skills at communication and negotiation. That was, that included the young men and the young women, and develop plans to reduce their risk. For the adults, the church, and the community, increase the capacity also of the pastors, their wives, and other adults to be positive forces in the community efforts, in the church efforts. Briefly, we didn't necessarily expect that we would have so many of the church members and the church elders that would be interested in receiving this. And what we found out that sort of the intergenerational component was really important. And I think Bettina's going to speak briefly later on about the fact that we had a grandmother saying that it was really nice to be able to talk about sexual health with a grandchild. The intervention component. For the youth and for the adults, basically HIV and AIDS and STIs 101. But again, with the youth, we had skills building sessions. Again, communication and negotiation skills. For the pastor's spouses and other church leaders, again, HIV and AIDS 101. Bettina was really great also with the biblical scripture and being able to identify the scripture that was most appropriate and coming up with responses to some of the challenges. There were church events, sermons, presentations. Another thing to mention from Bettina, since I'm going to sing her praises, is that she was actually invited to speak from the pulpit on Sunday morning at a few of our churches around around sexual health issues. And she will tell you how she negotiated that. And then we had community-based activities, the Girls' Night In, a Sexuality and the Spirit conference, women's conference. The evaluation design, it was mixed method, qualitative and quantitative, pre- and post-test design with the youth and the adults. The questionnaire assessed the knowledge, self-efficacy issues, level of comfort with the adults within and outside the churches, SPSS, and we also did a qualitative process evaluation that was basically focus groups with all of those involved.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk to you briefly about some of the results and findings and conclusions that we talked about. I'll start talking about the youth results. As you can see, the youth, we went to them and we asked them to give us some statements that we could use that would encompass the things that they felt they had learned. And so they learned how to be responsible when it comes to having sex and how to react to other things. I learned that I'm not always right. And that I can, different opinions can tell me something. And I learned how to make my own choices with regard to having sex and to tell my partners that I'm what I'm comfortable with and not comfortable with. And I think if you remember what Kevin was saying about what our objectives were, to be able to teach them, to provide them with the awareness and the knowledge about what HIV and STIs are, to be able to accurately perceive what their risk is, to be able to communicate and negotiate for things that they wanted in relationships, and ultimately to be able to develop a plan for how they were going to conduct those relationships. So I think that we started that process with them. When we look at our adults, the trainers, because they were substantially more prepared to create a safe space and environment for working with young people, the pastors said that they increased their knowledge about HIV and their comfort level about talking about it from the pulpit, because it's not something that we talk about readily on Sunday morning, sex and sexuality. And then they also noticed that the churches were more comfortable. The members of the congregation were more comfortable now, substantially so, with talking about sex, sexuality, and HIV. Overall, we held 50 sessions, and they were, because we tried to attach the sessions to activities that were already occurring in the churches with the young people, there was generally low attrition. We trained 189 youth, 121 adults, and 55 pastors' wives and church leaders. The events that Kevin was talking about, like the special Sunday morning sermons, the afternoon plays and programs that they put on, the week-long youth rally that they had around the issue of HIV, attracted 700 participants. We had 480 people at our community events, which were things like our World AIDS Day, our Girls' Night In, and our Sex, Sexuality, and Spirit Women's Conference. During these events, we tested 80 people. However, on a weekly basis, since the program's inception, we have had people come to the office and identify as either being a member of the churches that we're working in or family members of those congregants that have been encouraged to come and get tested. So we directly reached 1,556 people, and indirectly through the 11 churches, over 4,000 congregants. Because the programs were only 5 weeks in length, we did not expect to be able to demonstrate a positive behavior change. However, I think what we did do, which was one of our major goals, was create a safe environment where the young people, and we keep stressing the young people, where the young people and the old people felt safe to talk about sex and sexuality. The adult trainers, one of the things that they struggled most with was, because it's not typical for us to talk about sex in churches, is that now we're really going to be able to talk about it. And one of the pastor's wives said for her, an aha moment was when the first session that they had with the youth, she was kind of concerned about the fact that she was so much older than them and how are they going to receive this knowledge from her. And she said, sure enough, true to form, on the first night, one of the young men said, "You don't talk to us about sex. You pastor's wife." And she said, "Why, do you have a problem with that?" And as one voice, all of the youth said, "No, we think it's cool that the pastor's wife want to tell us about sex." And time again, again, you know, because these young people have so much going on in their lives. They're in school. Many of them were seniors, so they were working with senior activity. They had after school, they had band, they had choir rehearsal. It was a problem in some of the churches. And so how the pastors decided to deal with that problem is they made a phone call to your center, and they said, we're not able to get our youth out here at the time that we had originally set up for the sessions. What are you doing on Sunday morning? I'm going to be wherever you want me to be. So they actually gave up an hour of their Sunday morning services to do these sessions. And, of course, you know, there's opposition about condoms, period. Condoms in the church. And so a lot of our, many of our older members in the churches felt that, you know, Pastor, I support you in everything, but I can't go down that road with you with this. So we don't think that we're going to handle condom demonstrations on site here. So what the pastors, the Your Blessed Health team, with the permission of the pastors and of the team's parents, they set up off-site venues where the condom demonstrations were done, and with signed parental consent, the kids were given condoms. Lessons that we learned is that there is a continued need for awareness for HIV in our community, and that the churches need to quit playing. The members of the church, because the churches are the members that go there. We need to quit playing and acknowledge that from the choir stand to the back door, everything that's happening in our community is happening in our church. Amen. And that we have to protect ourselves. The Bible says put on the whole armor. And if you're going to put that armor on, that means you got to learn the knowledge of how to apply that armor. So that we have to have that information available. And churches believe that they can put, the churches must believe that they can make the changes, and that they have the accurate resources and the information to be able to do that. Ideally, we learned that the information should be presented by people who look like them. And one of the things that came out of this was that we had some churches thought that we're going to have some young people and older trainers. Most of the churches just had adult trainers. Well, the young people did so well, the pastors from the other churches said, oh, well, next time we do this program, we want to have young people trained too. And so as we roll out the next phase of the program, there will be more young people trained. And the other thing is that we have to learn that one size does not fit all pastors or churches, that they are individuals. In conclusion, faith-based organizations are uniquely positioned to implement HIV programming for all of the reasons that you've already heard, primary being that we still have the trust of the communities that believe that the information that comes from us, the skills that come from us, are going to be valid, and that they're going to help us to live a better life. We also learned that when we're talking about HIV, it's still that the truth is that in talking about sex, adults are more uncomfortable about that issue than young people. We don't know how young people got here. We have to break down those barriers. And it's important to respect pastors and churches' individuality and to give them some options. And your blessed health was designed to be flexible enough for the churches to assess what would be most appropriate in their churches and how they can utilize the information to be able to reach their congregants and to give them the information that they need to keep them safer. And the churches and other faith-based organizations must realize the effective prevention strategies involve not only abstinence, not only being faithful, but the appropriate and consistent use of condoms. We might as well admit that people are having sex in the churches, y'all. And our young people are having unprotected sex. When you look out there and you see that Sally and Renisha and whoever having babies, you know they're having sex. They ain't got no husband, so you know they're not married, so you know they're fornicating. And we also know that there are a lot of relationships, unhealthy and inappropriate relationships in the churches. And until we can get them to where, biblically, we think that they should be, or biblically that they want to be, better yet, then we need to put in place other mechanisms that are going to help to keep them safe, because they got to live in order for us to save their soul. They got to live in order for us to help them live right. So those are the things that we looked at with Your Blessed Health. We would like to publicly acknowledge our funder, the Ruth Mott Foundation, our consultants and our partners, and our participating churches. And thank you very much.
another round of applause.